Hey, Millionaire University listeners, this is Kirsten, and I want to share something that's been a game changer in my journey from content creator to business owner, and that is Kajabi. When I started out, I knew I wanted to make serious money online, but I wasn't sure where to begin. And that's when I found Kajabi, one of the very first platforms I used. With Kajabi, I was able to host my very first courses and make tens of thousands of dollars. Kajabi is an all-in-one platform that makes building your business online a breeze. Whether you're creating stunning sales pages, setting up funnels, or hosting courses and memberships, Kajabi has you covered. It simplifies the entire process, letting you focus on what you do best, creating amazing content, and connecting with your audience and your customers. What truly sets Kajabi apart is how intuitive and user-friendly it is. I didn't have to worry about the technical stuff, which freed up my time to really grow my business and engage with my customers. If you're serious about turning your passion into a profitable business, Kajabi is one of the most important tools that you can have in your tool belt. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/MU. That's kajabi.com/MU. Go to kajabi.com/MU and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Every thought process that you have towards growth mindset is one step closer. So if you say, I can't start a business or I can't grow my business, you're really stuck.
Heyo, MU Nation. Brian Geeran back with you today on the Millionaire University podcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm thrilled today to introduce our guest. Her name is ST Rappaport. She is a brain engineer. How cool of a title is that, right? She is going to help us unpack and discover the term growth mindset today. As an entrepreneur, a growth mindset can be and is a huge part of what we do when it comes to growing our business. And ST is going to blow the roof off of this concept for us today, and I'm excited to bring it to you. So without further ado, let's welcome to the classroom ST Rappaport. ST, thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, Brian. I'm really excited to be here with you today.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pumped because we are going to talk all about the growth mindset of the entrepreneur. But first, you're going to do a much better intro on yourself than I can. So can you introduce yourself to our listeners? Tell us a little about your story, what you're working on these days, and then we're going to hop right into growth mindset.
So I'm a brain engineer for ADHD entrepreneurs, and that wasn't my plan. When I was a kid asking me what I grew up as, it was going to be a photographer. And I started my photography business at 14 in college. I rented out studios. I did all that sort of stuff. And during that time, I also was doing some training on the brain. Because when I was a kid, I struggled with reading for a really long time. And the thing that helped me was not another reading tutor, but rather actually improving how my brain was thinking and processing information. And so even as a kid, I understood how important this was and how valuable this was, that I was like, I want to learn this just to have this in my back pocket. And so I started my training while I was in the business. I just had this training just to do the training for the sake of it, because I always love learning. And during that process of the training, of actually learning how to do it with other people, I improved my own brain's ability to improve, think, and process information, that I've saved over 10 hours every week. I've tripled my business. My relationships improved. Literally everything improved. My communication improved. Everything completely changed, that I was like, yeah, someone else could do photography. I'm going to go into this. And so today I help ADHD entrepreneurs really optimize their brain and take their business to a whole new level.
This is very exciting because as an entrepreneur with ADHD/ADD, however those to play in tune. I was told that was discovered when I was in college, and I believe it. I'm really excited to talk with you today about this, but a big part about this, especially for ADHD entrepreneurs, is everybody still has to have a growth mindset. So what are we talking about when we're diving into growth mindset today, ST?
Yes. So growth mindset, lots of people use it because they're popular words, And obviously, on a very basic level, we understand what that means. But the person that actually really coined that term and made it really popular was Carol Dweck. Carol Dweck is a psychologist at Stanford University who wanted to know what makes a person successful, whether it's money, nice millionaire, whether it's sports, athletes, whatever, academics, whatever it was, like what makes that person successful? And what she discovered was it has absolutely nothing to do with talents, nothing to do with your background, nothing to do with IQ. It comes down to whether you have a fixed or a growth mindset. A fixed mindset believes the way you are is the way you'll always be. A growth mindset is always learning, always growing, always asking for feedback. When they fail, they don't see it as a failure, but rather as a learning experience, and they pick themselves up and they're continuing to learn. Focus a lot on the process, not just the outcome, because they are growing through this process. Here's the thing though. We all have both a fixed and a growth mindset. And the question is whether you have a growth mindset about your business and your goals.
I love it. And I hadn't heard that the opposite term, the fixed mindset. And I can see how that could lead to, I guess, if you possess a fixed mindset, perhaps there's a lot of limiting beliefs, or this is just the way it is for me. I don't have a way to change that. I feel like I have a freedom of choice. Is that kind of what the fixed mindset is? That's just the way it is and there's nothing you can do? Or is there?
Yeah, exactly. Fixed mindset is I'm bad at art and I'm always going to be bad at art. Or let's bring this to business for a second. If I'm the only person that could do this job and I can't delegate it to anyone because I'm the only person that can do this job and you're like stuck on it, that this is the way it has to be. And I'm just going to be stuck doing this job for forever. Or nobody understands really what I'm trying to sell them. And so they're like just losing. All those sort of statements are very fixed and it's just what it sounds like. It's staying where it is. And just because it's like that today, it's going to be like that for forever. That's the distinguish, the difference between the two of them.
And if you're an entrepreneur, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, if you want to be an entrepreneur, a business owner, you can't survive with a fixed mindset. And that's my opinion, but tell me if I'm wrong. Like it just doesn't work.
Yes. What are we talking about? Where did this come from? This whole concept of growth, the terms came from what's going to make a person be successful. And if you want your business to be successful, you bet you better have a growth mindset, because just putting it out there, it's not going to be easy. And you're going to have to deal with a whole bunch of stuff. And if you just think that, oh, this is just too bad, you're going to give up before you get anywhere.
Right. Absolutely. And I can tell you from my experience in my digital marketing business, after a few years, I started realizing and working with a handful of different companies, clients, types of people, that if a client didn't have a growth mindset, if I didn't identify before we engage that they had a growth mindset, I started learning that we can't work together, because what we do is all about growing your revenue, growing your bottom line, growing your profit, and growing yourself as a business owner. And without that growth mindset, there's no point in investing in growth if you don't care to grow. It's so simple.
How do you identify whether someone has a growth mindset or not?
So I can tell when I ask somebody, the biggest question that I can ask that will give me that answer the quickest is, what are your revenue goals, your profit goals, and your personal goals over the next 12 to 24 months? And if I get a response that's along the lines of, oh, I'd like to get it just a little bit bigger, or if I can just hit seven figures, then I'm perfect. And maybe let's say they're an $800,000 company, they want to get to seven figures. Okay, that's a little bit of growth, but you don't want to expand beyond that, meaning you don't want to take the steps that would be necessary to build your internal infrastructure. That's where I start reading between the lines and saying, okay, or if let's say you're happy where you are, but you feel like you should do marketing simply because you don't do it, then that's a red flag for me. That's a sign that says you're not really going to invest in the things that you need to do internally to take advantage of the money that you'll invest in marketing. So it's really, and then if I get people who say, we're hoping to 2X this year, we're hoping to 3X the following year, and then 6X the next, then I know that you're all about growth. And I can follow that up with questions of, okay, so if you want a 2X by next year, what internal steps are you prepared to take based on the type of marketing that we're going to do? We can roughly understand what improvements will come on the marketing side, because we have a system and we know it works. But if we, for example, if we bring you this amount of business, this amount of qualified leads, are you prepared internally to handle that? Or if not, what will let you 2x, then what will let you 3x. So we help them kind of brain map out a year from now, 2 years from now, when you want to be 3x where you are from today, what's the internal side of your business going to look like? So yeah, it took me a long time to realize that, because when I was first starting out, it was just, hey, I do this, I want to help you out, and this is how I'm going to make a living. But then it turns into, if I'm working with someone who's not growth mindset, we're going to be done working together within 90 days, because they're going to realize that they don't want to make that investment, or they don't care about the new business that was coming in. They don't want to close the new business, and then it's a lose for everybody.
Yeah, essentially, they're staying very comfortable, right? Going from 850 to a million is like really in the same range, and they're just staying comfortable, and they're not in the place that they want to stretch themselves and go out of their comfort zone and do the new challenging things like that infrastructure and all the additional work. Now, I'm just going to put like a caveat to this. We want to be aware whether we're having a fixed or growth mindset about something, and then consciously decide, because you may decide, let's say you are getting to a weight goal or a certain, like you want to put on a certain amount of muscle. Let's like use that as an example. Okay. So you want to have a growth mindset if you're working on building muscle to get to a certain point. But if you hit a certain point, you may say, you know what? I am consciously choosing not to put time, money, effort, energy into working on building even more muscle because I'm comfortable with where I am. And I'm instead going to focus my time, money, and energy on a different goal and grow myself in a different way. So it's not like that you always have to have a growth mindset about everything. And some people may say, you know what, for my business, I only want to take it to a certain point. I don't want to put all that time, money, energy in. Like I personally, I have massive, massive, massive goals. But if you decide to do different, you just want to be aware that you're not having a growth mindset about it.
Yeah, and that's a good point. We should put a disclaimer in there. We're not judging anyone who is happy where they are in their business. That is totally fine. Your business is your thing. You do it how you see fit. And if you get to a certain income level, a certain revenue level, a certain profit level, and you want to hang out there, that is totally cool. But chances are it took a growth mindset of yours to get to that point.
Yeah, I like that.
Right? And if you choose to make that change, and that is completely fine. Every entrepreneur is different, right? We all come from different stripes and we have different goals. But we want to make sure that we're not passing any judgment. If you're happy where you are, that is totally chill. But you can also keep that growth mindset focused on, maybe it's a hobby, maybe it's a different business, maybe it's a partnership in a new entity, who knows? So there's all sorts of ways that you can treat this.
It can even be a part of your business. So maybe you're like, you know what, I'm going to open up a new YouTube channel and I'm going to have a growth mindset about that.
Absolutely. I think that's a perfect way to put it too, because there's so many different things that you can do in a business, any given business, different avenues, different branches you can create. And that's what keeps it exciting. And I'm getting excited, just that entrepreneurial blood in me is flowing, because what are the new things we can do that can feed that desire with that growth mindset? And I had to learn this too. I don't want to say it's like just naturally inborn with everybody, but when you become an entrepreneur, it is so easy to, you got to balance those scales of scared, right? Like I'm afraid to jump in. It could be time, it could be money, it could be effort, whatever. But then also with shifting yourself into that growth mode. So if you feel like you're stuck, maybe you acknowledge you have a bit of a fixed mindset. What can you do to shift yourself more towards the growth mindset?
Yeah, I like to look at fixed and growth mindset, like going from fixed and growth mindset as steps. So fixed mindset is like down here and growth mindset is up. And every thought process that you have towards growth mindset is one step closer. So if you say, I can't start a business or I can't grow my business, you're really stuck. As soon as you start saying, I want to grow my business, you're already in a different place. When you're like, okay, I am looking for someone who can help me, you're another step closer. When you're, I can, then you're even closer. So instead of it being like, oh, one or the other, it's like either fixed or growth. It's like, how can I move it slightly closer towards the growth? And my favorite way to do that, my favorite way to switch from a fixed to a growth mindset, is to change the words we are using, because the words we use have a massive effect on the words, on our actions that we take, on how our brain processes it and approaches information. So notice my examples of going from fixed to a growth, a lot of it was related to the words. As soon as you say, I can't, your brain is like literally shut down and not looking for anything else. When you are saying, I am learning, your brain is going to start looking for learning. Or even if you're not learning yet, but you're saying, I'm looking for ways to learn, your brain will help you get there. My favorite way to move towards there is to add the word yet. If you're like feeling really stuck, but you know you want to move this towards a growth mindset, say, I can't do this yet. And as soon as you say yet, you took a baby step from fixed mindset towards growth mindset.
Wow. Okay. So the power of words, but more specifically, the power of yet. So you're the brain engineer. So when you say these to yourself, say them out loud, say them to yourself, does that change your brain function to where it's, now that I've said it, I've acknowledged it, maybe I've just said it out loud to myself in the mirror, is there like a chemical change? Is there a physical change that is now allowing you to go pursue the solution or the learning or the person, whatever it might be?
Yes, because your brain is going to look out for information and follow based on whatever you say. However, if you're lying to yourself, your brain knows that you're lying. So if you're like, hey, I'm a millionaire, when you're not a millionaire, then your brain is going to be like, yes, that's it. It doesn't work. Bye. When you're like, I want to become a millionaire, maybe I should join Millionaire University and listen to a Millionaire University podcast. Then like your brain is now, oh, I want to be a millionaire. So automatically your brain is, what do I need to do if I need to get there? And it's going to start looking for ways. And the stronger your language is in that direction, the stronger and more precise action you'll take to actually help you get there.
So is this almost like a brainception of yourself where you are training your brain to guide your mindset? Is that an accurate way to say that?
Yeah, except that I would say more than mindset. It literally changes the actions that you take because now this information is important to your brain. Like we know the example of like when you get a new car, all of a sudden it looks like everyone on the road now has that car because this car is important to you. And it's not like everyone got a new car the same day as you did. It's your brain now sees this information as important. And so as soon as you tell yourself, oh, I want to learn how I can open up a YouTube channel and you look out for ways to open up, your brain is literally going to pick that up. All of a sudden when you were scrolling TikTok and there was a video about YouTube that previously you would have just skipped, now your brain is like, hey, this is an interesting piece of information. And the more precise you can articulate it to yourself, the more precise action you'll be able to take. So if you're like, you know what, I want to hire not just a YouTube coach, but I want to hire a video coach who will help me specialize with YouTube. Your brain is going to now start looking out for people who could help you with that.
So it's like training your brain to discover or to notice the pathways of discovery, essentially. As a business-to-business marketer, you know that your needs are unique. B2B buying cycles can be painfully long and your customers face incredibly complex decisions. Isn't it time you had a marketing platform built specifically for you? LinkedIn Ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers. LinkedIn Ads allows you to build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in a respectful environment. You'll have direct access to and build relationships with decision makers. There's a billion members, 180 million of which are senior level executives and 10 million are C-level executives. You'll be able to drive results with targeting and measurement tools built specifically for B2B. In technology, LinkedIn generated 2 to 5x higher return on ad spend than other social media platforms, and 79% of B2B content marketers said LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. So if you're ready to work with a partner who respects the B2B world you operate in, then you need LinkedIn ads. So make B2B marketing everything it can be and get a $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/mupod to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/mupod. Terms and conditions apply. So is there an exercise or something that we can do to consciously train our brain? Because as the entrepreneur, as well as I, like, at least for me, I have a million thoughts a day. Like just this morning, I had an idea for a membership, like stuff I'm like, oh, I got to write that down and get back to it at another point. But is there an activity we can consciously do to train our brain towards what it is we want to get better at, whether it's getting out of the 9-to-5 and starting our business? Is there a pathway, something we can do? What type of action can we take besides just talking to ourselves? Is there an activity for that?
Okay. It's a very general, broad question. So I want to give you a very general, broad answer. But first, I'm going to respond with repeating what I said about the words. Like literally watch the words you're using. This doesn't even take more time. Catch yourself when you are saying words like, I can't, this is impossible, I won't be able to, this is going to take too much time, things like that, and just rephrase it in another way. That is literally your starting point. It doesn't take more time and it will drastically change everything. I was recently speaking to an entrepreneur who told me that by simply not using the word I'm a procrastinator anymore, he's 20 to 30% less of a procrastinator. So just change your language. Let's start there. But to actively work towards your goals and figure out what's the best thing for you to do moving forward, I think one of the things that is very overrated is just taking action. The problem is we just take a bunch of little action without actually thinking it through. And so we start a bunch of million things without following through any of them. We get stuck very quickly and we just give up. And so every time you have these ideas or you have a goal that you know you want to work on, take the time, literally time, to stop and think and process information. Like, block out on your calendar thinking time to just think through all your ideas. Now, you can just think, you can journal, or you can do my favorite thing, which is journaling with your non-dominant hand.
Explain that.
Yes. Okay. So take a piece of paper, best if it doesn't have lines, and you may need like a bunch of paper because you're going to write really big and really messy, which is totally okay. And get two different color pens or two different color markers or crayons even. Just have fun with it, okay? One for each hand. You are going to start by asking yourself questions, typical journal prompt questions, whatever you want to think about, with your dominant hand. So this is the hand you usually use to write with. If you usually write with your right hand, you write the questions with your right hand. If you usually use it with your left hand, write the questions with your left hand. Write out the question, like normal. Then you're going to answer the question with your non-dominant hand, that's with your other hand, without thinking. Don't think, just write the answer. Don't care about spelling. I don't care about what it looks like. It's going to look like a five-year-old wrote it. It doesn't make a difference. Just write. Once you have finished your answer, you go back to your dominant hand and you write the question with your dominant, another question, a follow-up question with your dominant hand, and answer with your non-dominant hand. And you're going to go back and forth and back and forth until you feel like you've come to some conclusion or you've got some sort of clarity or what to move forward on first. I will just say, though, the first time you do this, it's going to feel really weird and you may feel like you're not getting anywhere, but don't give up. Try it again the next day and try it again the next day. And your brain literally has to retrust yourself through this process and eventually you'll get there. That's your mini thinking.
Okay. So explain to me the benefit of doing it with your non-dominant hand. Is that what forces you to slow down your brain?
That's part of it, but that's a minute part of it. What's actually is happening is we have a part of our brain called the amygdala. Amygdala is two little small almond-sized parts of our brain that store really high emotions and lots of important information that we don't always have access to. It's like a lot of our intuition and just things that happen is related to there. Most of the time, when we're thinking and we're journaling or whatever, we're going through the same pathways that we always go through because our brain, to make things go easier, creates like a bit like on a road, right? Or a path in the forest, right? Like you go down the pathway and it becomes easier thinking through. The problem is with this pathway is that sometimes when we're trying to get answers or trying to get clarity or trying to figure out like how we should move forward with our goals is that we hear a lot of voices, whether it's families, things that we've been telling ourselves, things that we saw online or whatever, that stop us from actually accessing that information that's in the amygdala. There's like literally like blockages in the pathways for where you're trying to get to. When you are writing with your non-dominant hand, it's almost like you have access through the back door. So now you can get right into the conversation without all those pathways, and you can access that information without all those voices, without any of that judgment, and get to what you're looking for.
Okay. So as I'm sitting here trying to write with my left hand, it's not going well, I can tell you that. But that will allow me over time, and it obviously this probably doesn't happen in just one shot, but that will allow me to access that information in the amygdala that you said it's hard for us to actually get to.
Yes, exactly. There are other ways to get to it, like through let's say deep meditation and things like that. But this is my favorite way to get there. And a bit like I was saying before, just like when you meet a person for the first time, you don't tell them your deepest, darkest secrets. When you enter your amygdala is not going to just tell you all the information the first time. It's a relationship, essentially, that you're building with your amygdala that over time it happens. And when you do this consistently, then you get your answers. Like, they just flow and they happen easily.
Wow. Okay. And then that can, when you're able to have that type of connection, that type of access, that allows you to have a better suited growth mindset, right? Like, how does that play into changing that mindset and helping you get from a fixed point of view to the growth?
Yes, because internally, you're a growth-minded person. We are born. Obviously, some of it is nurture, some of it is nature, but for most of what we have is we're growth-minded people. That's how we have to, if we weren't growth-minded, we would never learn how to walk. And we just hear, like, before the age of 7,000 no's, and we're just always told no the whole time, don't do this, be careful, don't try that out. all that sort of stuff that essentially turn us into fixed-minded people. And if you want, I can even share a tip for like parents or people who deal with other people on what we can do to help them develop growth mindset. But by doing this, we're like accessing this information without all those voices that can help us like figure out, okay, what can we do here to become more growth-minded about it? But I'm going to go back to the words you use because I don't want people to forget about it. Start with the words that you are talking to yourself. That is how much I care about it.
I love it. Well, and that's, you made the point of how, and maybe I didn't piece this together until now, but we're all born with a growth mindset because like you said, we wouldn't learn to walk if we weren't trying to grow. But it's kind of society and just the way of the world that we're told no so much. Or like you said, be careful, don't do that. That's a little too risky. So it's kind of like the human nature of growth pitted against the human regard of risk, right? Humans are naturally born to protect oneself. Like we have adrenaline and these internal processes that help us notify us of danger and to mitigate it by mitigating the risk. So it's crazy how those two human pieces of nature fight against each other. And then how I feel like almost the risk side took the lead and can easily crush the growth side. That's a fascinating little bit of human nature you just implored upon us there.
Yeah, it's like survival, right? Like our lizard survival. Like we need that.
It's like in order to survive, you got to be able to protect yourself. And in order to protect yourself, maybe that means not taking risk. But in order to live, you're going to have to take some risk. So it's like this weird nebulous kind of balance of which side are you going to give more leverage to? Are you going to give it to the risk side? Or are you going to give it to the safety side? And then wherever you are in that, as you get older and older, whether you're starting a business or not, you can identify, are you more risk averse? Are you more prone to taking risk? And that can affect your mindset. And you mentioned something about parents and growth mindset. What was that? I'd love to hear that point. Because as a guy with three kids going on four, I'm always up for advice around that. And I know plenty of our listeners are family folks. So let's hear it.
So when you give your children compliments, instead of complimenting their outcome, compliment the action that they took. Let's say your child comes home with 100 on a test. Wow, like you got 100. Now, every time this child doesn't get 100, they're going to feel like a failure. And they're going to, essentially what we're doing is we're setting themselves up, exactly what we just said. They're going to scared to try because they might fail. But failure is just part of the process. And when they get that test of 100, it's, wow, I saw how you put in that work yesterday to sit down and study and you've researched and you whatever. And then not about the result at all. Or even if a three-year-old shows you a picture that they drew, it's, I see how much you're staying focused on coloring all the lines, like things like that. It really develops the growth mindset and not so much the outcome. Like never calling your kid like you're smart. People who think they're smart is actually one of the biggest pitfalls for fixed mindset. Because what happens is as soon as something's new and challenging, they're like, hey, I'm smart, but I can't do this. So they don't want to try. They don't want to do it. And they're just like, nah, so I'm smart in this thing, but not in that thing. And then they just don't try it at all. So not saying things like you're smart, but rather focusing on their character traits and the actions that they're doing.
Interesting. Okay. Because as my three-year-old is constantly bringing me little scribblies that she drew, you love to like build them up and be, oh, that's beautiful. You did a great job. So you're saying compliment them more so on the, I guess, the effort that they put into it and the steps that they took to make this beautiful piece of art.
Exactly.
Okay. And that fuels the growth mindset from a very early age. Because I love to pair this between now being a parent and as a former child, I can speak on when you get those, with that test example, that's perfect. Oh, you got 100. That's fantastic. Congratulations. But when you come home with an 82, it's like, oh, okay, what went wrong? It's just that maybe I didn't study as hard on this one, but it wasn't necessarily pointed out that way.
And then you can use that opportunity as a really good learning opportunity. You can see then, like, did your child still put in all the effort and still got an 82? They still put in all the effort and they still deserve the compliment and the recognition for all the effort that they did. If they decided not to do any of that work, then it becomes a learning opportunity of, hey, when I don't study, then I get an 82. And it's not about, oh, you're a bad person. This is a result of not doing the work. And this is what's going to happen.
Right. And you have to live with the results that you create.
Exactly.
And I could see this applying to, as a business owner with teammates, whether they're employees or contractors or VAs, whoever it is, I think you can apply that same concept to providing feedback to your team, or I imagine that still gels, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It goes with yourself too, right? These is like compliments that you're giving to everyone, feedback, anything of that sort. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know working with Justin here at Millionaire University, he is all about providing feedback right away too. Always constantly improving, always coming from a place of positivity and from constructive criticism. But I think as a business owner, it's one of those things where, and I've experienced this myself, I'm a good Midwestern boy. I hate conflict. I don't like to be involved in it. When conflict arises, I would usually in the past, I would tend to avoid it and just be passive aggressive on it. But I've learned a lot through Justin that being a teammate with him, it's very much so, it's very important to just provide the feedback. Know that when you bring somebody on board, that let them know that feedback is coming, it's going to come often, and it's always going to be constructive. And I think that's the only way to be able to grow, because you can also share your growth mindset, because not everybody who works on a team within a business or within your business is going to have that growth mindset, right? Or they might lean towards more risk averse, which is totally fine. Businesses need people of all types of stripes and mindsets, because someone who's more risk averse might be a fantastic CFO, right? Versus the CEO or the owner who might be very visionary. So everybody has these complementary skills, but I think it's always a positive thing to be able to share your growth mindset with those who either, maybe they want to have more of a growth mindset, or maybe they're happy where they are, but it's great for them to see where your mind, where your thoughts lie. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. And I also would add that I don't think that so much being risk averse is not having a growth mindset. I think they just approach it slightly differently. They're still willing to grow, right? Like as long as they're open to feedback and they're willing to like try. Obviously, you don't just try everything, but like they have provide reasons why they're not trying it. It's not just like, no, I'm backing off because I'm scared. But they may approach it slightly differently, but you can be growth mindset and still be risk averse.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
And like you said, you're the one building that culture of that growth mindset.
Right. That's true. If you are the entrepreneur, the business owner, you are in charge of disseminating that mindset. And the folks that work with you, they will look to you for that leadership and that guidance. So you have the ability to set the mindset of your company, and that will attract the people who want to be a part of that or who have similar mindset, who have that growth mindset. And it might be a high growth mindset, might be on the lower side, like you said, but it is something that all comes from the head honcho. And that's the most important part.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, ST, I know I want to respect your time. We're getting up against it here. What is, if you have one piece of parting advice for our listeners in terms of growth mindset, what would that be?
Okay, this will help you with growth mindset and will also help your brain on a brain healthy level and keep your brain nice and young. Do new and challenging things as often as you can. Best if you can do them every day, if not like as often as you can. That's going to put you in a position to, you're going to have to fail. Every time you do something new and challenging, you're going to be putting yourself in situations where you have to have that growth mindset and literally developing that growth mindset muscle. And also you will be developing and creating new neuron connections in your brain. So your brain is growing instead of dying.
That's fantastic. That's epic. That's almost like going to the gym for your brain, right? Take on these new challenges and learn from them.
100%.
That's so cool. Awesome. Awesome. ST, thank you so much. How can our listeners get in touch with you if they want to learn more about you, contact you, or learn about any of the programs that you currently have running?
Yeah. So wherever you like to look, look for Life Picks University. So that's Life PIX University, similar to Millionaire University, but it's going to be on all socials, website, all that sort of stuff. Just Life Picks University and you'll find us.
Okay. Fantastic. ST, thank you so much for joining us. This has been wonderful. Folks, all my listeners out there, get on that growth mindset. It's a great place to be. ST, thank you for all your advice and your input on the growth mindset today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
All right. All right, let's hear it for ST, everyone. Growth mindset can be such a broad concept, but I'm glad ST was able to help us narrow it down. And I think one of the coolest things for me, at least, was being able to train your brain using your words, using your language. You can train your brain to be more optimized, more growth mindset, and it has to do with how you essentially treat yourself and how you talk to yourself, which I thought was just such a cool concept and something that we can easily do on our own every single day to help us improve and get more of a growth mindset in action. So thank you to ST for joining us today on the Millionaire University podcast. We will see you back on the next episode. And thank you all for joining us. This is Brian Geeran signing off. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Millionaire University podcast.
Hey, Eric Fisher here, and if you love the conversations and lessons happening on this show, and you've heard my voice before, you'll love my show, Beyond the To-Do List. It's a podcast about productivity and getting things done in all the areas where we wear multiple hats and roles, but also about the true meaning of productivity, living a more meaningful life. Look, you've got a never-ending to-do list, but add this podcast to your to-do list, and it will help you tackle the rest. Go right now, wherever you're listening to this, and search Beyond the To-Do List and hit follow or subscribe. Start listening and get that boost for your productivity that you've been needing. Again, that's Beyond the To-Do List. Search in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this podcast.